Coleman's Independent Radio, music from Carey Brothers, and that one's called Ride on Coleman's Independent Radio Station. We are live, 95 WRJM LP Coleman, 4 o'clock on a Thursday, or if it happens to be Tuesday at 4 o'clock, well, time for Coleman's Sports Talk program, the only one here live and local, and where you can call in at, I'm going to get it right this time, guys, 737-9505. Special thanks to People's Bank for helping to make this program possible, and I'm talking too much. So here are your hosts for Sports Talk Live or Auto Trader, either way you want to go with it, Jason Spiegel and Roddy Marsh.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Hey, Jay, one thing let's get out of the way to start with, because I am confused now.
Okay.
You said Thursday afternoon, or if it happened to be Tuesday, so fill me in on this.
Okay. You wanted to know what day of the week it is?
No, I mean, why would it be Tuesday?
Oh, I'm just reminding people, if they happen to be flipping channels and catch this on a Thursday, that they could catch it on a Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
I got you.
I thought you were thinking we were going to re-air Tuesday or something. So. I thought he was giving us a week off for Thanksgiving.
We'll discuss it,
but as I recall, there is football this weekend. But is there anything really challenging? That there's not really anything going on this weekend, right?
Not in this state as far as football goes.
So I don't know. Is it Tuesday or is it Thursday, guys?
I had actually thought about talking to Jay about not doing Tuesday and Thursday, and then I happened to think there's a little game coming up.
There is.
Next Saturday.
Lots to talk about there.
That's right. Not as big as it would have been.
But are we really going to learn anything more about each one of those teams between now and then?
No, because neither one of them's playing. I mean, Alabama's playing Chattanooga. And
a scrimmage, right?
That. And Auburn's playing Alabama A&M.
I don't really want to talk about Auburn. I mean, they were supposed to win last week's game, too. So.
If they don't play better,
I'm having to see a psychiatrist over that now. It hurt my feelings.
I'm sure it did. If they don't play better than it did last week, it could be close, but I don't think that's going to happen. It'll be a.
I'm going to side with I think it might have been Jason Spiegel who I heard this from. I don't know, but I think it was all a show. You know, I think they were playing down to that game so they could brace themselves for Alabama. You know how Nick Saban likes to watch that video,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. I know he would like that one. There's no doubt about that. But, yeah, you know, Jason, we got football going on, but, gosh, it's nothing to get excited about, is it?
No. It's going to be a sleeper this weekend.
Absolutely. Hey, and
Jason's going to go home and watch reruns of The Blacklist.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
The season just ended.
Is that the end of it?
You can go to Netflix and start on episode one and catch up.
Is it going to be back on again?
Yeah, it'll be back next
year?
Season.
Okay.
So.
Is this the first season of it?
No, this is season four, I think.
Oh, season four. Okay.
Yeah. I apparently have Netflix-a-phobia because or some other psychological. When I start it, I can't stop it. Even if I want to. Like, I decided over the summer while I was waiting on fall to roll around, I was going to catch up on the old Aaron Sorkin TV show, The West Wing. I started that, like, the third week of July. I'm almost done with it. I've got like six episodes left.
I don't even know how to use Netflix, so I couldn't watch it on Netflix. So Jason would have to teach me how to do
You probably don't want to do too many Google searches on it.
Oh, okay.
You might come across like, oh, I don't know, what do they do? Dairy Queen chills or something? You don't want to.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to use Netflix and chill in the same search.
I see.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I got you. I can understand what.
Glad
you're
we're
about
straight
that.
On that.
Yeah. Absolutely. But hey, Jason, let me run this by you. What did you think about the college football playoff poll? Now this is the AP. Okay, and it had the Troy Trojans at number 25.
Yeah, about
first
that.
Time in school history.
What is that? Four? Isn't it in the state of Alabama ranked now?
Yeah. Troy, it's the first time they've ever been ranked in the AP poll. So, congratulations to Troy. They're coming in at number 25. Troy is 8-1 right now.
They probably beat Auburn the way Auburn played last Saturday.
They may have. A good thing Auburn wasn't playing Jacksonville State last week, wasn't it?
Boy, and you talking about, we talked about the other day, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Yeah.
Auburn getting poor. Injuries piling up, and not only injuries, then Cowart
had an appendectomy.
Yeah,
I would assume. Well, certain. There's no way he's not playing this week. Have they said whether he can play during the Iron Bowl or not?
No, I haven't heard. But I would doubt he plays. But who
you
knows?
Think not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe for the bowl game, but man, wow. that don't help.
Well, Sean White, does he not have? He's got a separated shoulder, I believe.
Isn't that, is it separated?
I think that's what it was.
I hadn't heard.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard this morning. That his issue has been a separated shoulder. So, you know,
yeah. No.
Of course, they're not. I mean, this week they may not even, they may not play him at all Saturday.
No,
I don't know why they would.
Won't. I wouldn't play any of the starters that I didn't just have to. I might play the line, yeah. But the backfield I would not play.
Absolutely, and Alabama probably the same, you know, same way. Yeah. Certainly with Alabama because they've got a whole lot more on the line than what Auburn has after Auburn laid the egg last week. You know.
And at this point, you don't want to get beat by Alabama A&M, but as far as Auburn and what it would mean to their season, it don't make any difference one way or the other.
You don't think it matters if A&M came in and beat Auburn?
No, not.
You got to be nuts.
Not now. It does to the fans and it does to pride and all that. But as far as where Auburn's going to go and what the end of their season is going to look like. It would make a little difference in the bowl game. But,
okay.
I mean, everything's gone anyway.
It might make a difference in whether Gus was there or
gone. It definitely make a difference in that.
I bet you this game's important to Gus. Yeah. But then, you know, there's no worries this week. I mean, I could not imagine
I think Auburn's third string would win this
one. Yeah, you know, they should win by 30 or 40, and Alabama should win by the same amount or more. But again, I'm with you.
What is the lines on the?
I have no idea.
I haven't even looked. That's how interested I've
been. Can they be so bad that they don't even do, or do they always do a line regardless of who they're playing?
Most of the time, there'll be a line. But
okay,
the highest one I've ever seen, and get this now, it was 71 points, and I don't even remember who it was.
71.
I remember the line being 71.
Did you take the points?
I think I did, and I think I won.
You won. Okay. It'd be hard not to take the points on that.
But I think it was like 60-something to nothing or something like that.
My goodness.
They didn't cover the 71.
Wow. So. Hey, Jason, you know, if someone hasn't heard the rankings, you may have heard the AP because, you know, they've been out several days, but the college football playoff rankings, they came out Tuesday night. So if somebody hasn't heard those, I'll go through them quickly, top 25. At 25, Texas A&M, they are down 17 spots.
That's where they need to be.
I know you're a huge Kevin Sumlin fan. Anyway, they're down 17 spots. At number 24 is Stanford, 23 Florida, 22 Washington State, 21 Western Michigan, the only other undefeated school team in the country. They are also 10-0. Boise State is number 20. 19 is Tennessee. At 18 Nebraska, 17 Florida State. 16, LSU. 15, Auburn. Auburn was down 6 spots.
And it should have been 16.
Yeah, you're right.
Ugly.
You're right. 14, West Virginia. 13, USC. That, I'll tell you this, Jason. Did you watch USC in Washington play?
Yeah, I watched, I would say half of it. I watched the first and the third quarters. So I'm just doing odd quarters.
For entertainment purposes only, I wouldn't be ashamed to say or afraid to say that USC may not be the hottest football team in the country.
Yeah, you know where that'll get you? That'll get you beat by Georgia.
USC is up 7 spots to number 13. They are sitting right now at 7-3. I would have never saw that after the first game when they opened up against Alabama.
Gosh, no.
But they put a new, you know, they got a new kid playing quarterback for him, and he's just been outstanding. So, USC is, they're just tearing it up right now at 7-3, and that would probably is, you know, you as an Auburn fan happy to see that because their head coach was, you know, he was a backup quarterback at Auburn, so.
Yeah.
You know, for what that's.
I'm tickled to death for him.
So you're down on Auburn, aren't you?
I'm down on the dumps, Ren.
At number 12 is Utah, 11 Oklahoma State, 10 Colorado. Whoever thought that would see that coming. Number 9 Oklahoma, 8 Penn State, 7 Wisconsin, 6 Washington, 5 Louisville, and then the top 4 that are in. If the playoffs started today, here's how they would be. At number 4 would be Clemson. Number three is Michigan. Number two, Ohio State. And number one is Alabama.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Pear tree, that's right.
And Alabama, that would be a nightmare, really, for Alabama, because they would play Clemson the first game.
That's right.
That ended today.
So. That's correct. They would play Clemson first game.
Which Clemson still appears.
They're dangerous. Yeah. I mean, they've lost one game,
Clemson, another team, though, Ronnie, that they could beat Alabama tonight and then turn around and lose to Vandy tomorrow night.
Yeah.
They are real unpredictable.
Absolutely.
Up and down.
I tell you, a club that sitting there in that five spot that when it's all said and done may be at the four, and that's Louisville. I tell you what, Bama, I believe, would have their hands full with Louisville.
I actually think Louisville should be in the top four.
I do, too.
No, I think Louisville beats Michigan straight up.
Michigan's played nobody.
Right.
Nobody.
Hey, Rennie, we'll ask our guest. I've asked one of them. I don't know which one, but here's the question for you. Ohio State and Michigan play each other. We already know that. They're going to face each other.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those ranked in the top four. So let's say Ohio State beats Michigan.
Okay.
Does that remove Michigan from the top four, or do they look at that as a quality loss to a top team and leave Michigan right where they're at?
They've got to take them out. I mean, you're sitting there with two losses, and you've got a Louisville with one loss, and you've got a Washington with one loss. I would move Michigan out and move Louisville in. I think Louisville's loss to Clemson carries more weight than Michigan's loss potentially to Ohio State. That's just me.
Yeah. And like I said, then it does give them two losses. So.
That's exactly right. It gives them two losses, plus it also would mean they wouldn't win their conference championship. And the team that has the inside edge that we've already talked about is sitting down at the eighth spot in Penn State. They've got the best chance to win their conference. Now, does the committee take an eighth-ranked Penn State and put them in the playoff because they are a conference champion?
If they do, they need to just do away with the poll and at the end of the year say we're going to take each conference champion.
That's right.
And be done.
And be done with it.
There's no need to worry about the poll each week. Just see who wins and play it.
Jason, if you really look at that, what's wrong with that?
Right, nothing. Then that really makes the regular season conference play part of the playoffs.
Absolutely. Every week.
It gets real interesting then. So.
And of course, we know that's never going to happen, but it sure is. I mean, it makes
sense.
It makes a lot of sense. It simplifies everything. It doesn't leave any decision making up to individuals. It's strictly by how you perform on the field.
But like you said, it's not going to happen.
No,
the reason
not.
It's not going to happen is too many people make too much money off of these polls and advertisements.
Oh, sure.
And too many people want to talk about
get
it
on
around
the
water cooler.
There you
and
go.
Get on the radio and
exactly.
talk about it.
ESPN and Fox Sports and all the major network sports channels. So you're right. But it sure would simplify things.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
Conference.
Hey, winners, what games come tonight? Who is playing tonight? Houston playing who tonight?
Is it
Louisville?
Games tonight, I'll tell you that right now.
I think they may be playing Louisville. Houston and Louisville.
With this being Thursday night, you are exactly right. Louisville is at Houston, 7 o'clock. Also, Arkansas State at Troy. So
does Houston have a chance to win that one?
Well, we would have said earlier in the year, they would have definitely had a chance. I mean, Houston was the talk of the town. Tom Herman was the hottest thing out there as far as coaches, that may be moving on somewhere else. But
what would you say the line would be on that game?
Houston, I would say the line is Louisville plus five. Or would I say minus five?
Minus five.
I'm sorry. Louisville minus five.
All right, get hold of this. Louisville minus 16.5. That surprised me. I just now seen it. Like I said, I've not looked at the lines much this week. 16.5. Oh, and while
we're talking about, hard to turn that down for entertainment purposes.
Alabama and Auburn, what would you put the line at for Alabama and Chattanooga?
Oh my goodness. Alabama, Chattanooga. I say Alabama is a 47-point favorite.
Have you already seen it?
No, I have no clue.
Alabama minus 47.5.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
I hit it right on the nose.
Auburn and Alabama A&M.
Auburn, Alabama A&M. Gosh, you would think it would be reasonably close to the same, but I'll say 42.
51.5. I think I'm going to get me some Alabama A&M. cheerleaders may be playing.
That's right. For entertainment purposes only, of course.
Right.
So, wow. No, I had not seen it, so.
Let's remind everybody today, Ronnie, that at 4:30, right around 4:30,
yeah.
Chris Andrews will be joining us. He's been on fire picking winners.
Absolutely. From out in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Nevada, baby.
At 5 o'clock, Dan the Man Vasta will be on, and he'll be just full of knowledge as he always is. And then at 5:30, Rich Chambers. And Rex will be full of the fishing knowledge. So stay with us. Be an interesting show today. A lot of questions coming up for Chris and Dan. So see what Dan thinks about the upset weekend.
Absolutely.
Three of the top four falling.
So. Yeah, unbelievable. I never saw that coming. But
you got anything local?
Local sports, Jason. You know, on Tuesday night we had several games. We had West Point was at Holly Pond. Arab was at Fairview. Vimont was at Cold Springs. And Coleman was at Gunnersville. I'll give you some of the scores from those games. Varsity games, Cold Springs, Varsity Boys, 52, Vinemont, 24, was the score of the Varsity Boys game.
I'm sorry. I thought you said 52-24.
I'm sorry to say I said 52-24, but that is the correct score, Varsity Boys game. 24. Varsity Girls, Cold Springs, 58. Vinemont, 14.
Again, I'm having trouble hearing. I thought you said 14 that time.
I did. I think I saw where Cold Springs started. They either started the game. They were on a 26-0 run at one time.
That'll do you in.
Doesn't give you much hope at that point. But that was the Cold Springs Vinemont scores. Holly Pond, Varsity Boys, 85. West Point, 64.
And you called that the other night, Holly Pond.
Holly Pond's good
85 points. You got to be doing something right to get 85.
85-64, the Varsity Girls, West Point 61, Holly Pond 38. So Holly Pond's girls, Miss Paige, Parker Adams.
Welcome to high school basketball, Paige.
West Point strong. I told you the other night. I said that's a club folks better look out for.
Holly Pond has lost some of that talent they had, and probably rebuilding some of the young girls coming up. So Paige, you get them back in.
Oh, absolutely. She'll do a great job.
Our volume going up and down in these headsets, or is it me?
Mine's pretty high right now, but we'll turn it down at the break.
Wow, there it went again.
Next game, Fairview. We'll turn it down now.
Yeah, I think Jay's messing with us. Turned me off, baby.
Did I turn it off?
Yeah, you turned me off.
Well, I'm glad.
Now you turned me on.
I'm glad to hear the first one.
I actually haven't touched any knobs in here, so.
Okay, I guess it's just maybe our hearing.
One of those days.
Hey, Jason, we got a couple
all right. I think I'm wrong. I think I may have turned that knob right there.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Fairview.
Now it's too loud, isn't it?
Yeah, it's loud.
It's a little loud. Fairview played Arab. Fairview Varsity Boys got beat 48-72. That was the Varsity Boys score. The Varsity Girls, Fairview beat Arab 63-60. So that was a good game. Fairview's girls are off to a 4-0 start. They're a quality basketball team. West Point's girls are quality, and certainly Cold Springs girls are quality. So that's going to be your better teams right there. Coleman lost in the Varsity Boys game to Gunnersville, 67-48. In the girls game, Coleman defeated Gunnersville, 58-37. So a congratulations to Josh Hembry, one of our kids from Vinemont.
Yeah.
Played for me as a freshman and a sophomore. Gets his first win as the head girls basketball coach at Coleman High School. So a big, huge congratulations to Josh in the first win. And I promise you, that won't be the last one. He will do an excellent job there. So congratulations to those teams that won, and better luck to those who didn't. Tonight, If you want to see some basketball, you can. Boaz is at Cullman, and J.B. Pennington is at Hantsville. So those are the games that's taking place tonight. Fairview, full slate of games. On Friday, Fairview will be at Colorado Springs. Vimont will be at Good Hope. Lawrence County will be at Cullman. Hantsville will be at West Point, and St. Bernard will be at Winston County. So plenty of basketball to be seen, not only tonight, but tomorrow night as well. So if you don't have plans, you don't have any activities, go out and catch a local high school game. Support those kids, because I know they would appreciate it. It's more fun when the gym's full.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like playing a game when the gym's full, and then you play one where there's about six people there.
Yeah, it's awful.
Have you caught any of the college hoops this week?
I saw just a little bit, Jason, of Kentucky and Michigan State.
There was a load of games on.
Yeah.
Duke and Kansas.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Kansas beat Duke by two or something like that.
That's right. But I did not, you know, I did not get to see too much of that. You know, Michigan State has a kid there by the name of Lankford, who was a high school player last year at Madison Academy.
Wow.
So I believe he's starting as a true freshman at Michigan State. I mean, he's a heck of a player. For those who don't, I know we're getting close to going to a break, but Jason, if you let me just go through the top 10 is basketball that we have going on so far early in the season. At number 10 is Arizona, number 9 Wisconsin, number 8 is Virginia, number 7 is Kansas, 6 Indiana, 5 North Carolina, 4 Oregon, 3 Villanova, 2 Kentucky, and one is Duke. So a lot of the names that you see year in and year out are there again. Yep. As we said, the Duke, the Kansas, the North Carolinas, they're always there.
And if you want to catch a basketball game tonight, you can watch almost anybody you want to watch tonight.
A lot of basketball.
It is loaded tonight. Louisville playing, Long Beach State.
Yeah.
I think actually that one's going on right now. But
gotcha.
4:25, we'll call it time for a break. When we come back, it'll be time for Chris Andrews. It's actually 2:25 out there, so we'll be talking to Chris right after his lunch, and he'll be giving us some runners. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Cullman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Cullman since 1989, Cullman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Cullman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Cullman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Cullman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Cullman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit CullmanSportsFit.com.
Friday, December 9th at the Cullman Civic Center, the music, the moves, the memories of the King lives on. Christmas with Elvis, the ultimate tribute event as Stephen Freeman performs Elvis's Christmas gospel and rock and roll hits live on stage. Advance tickets on sale at KingTribute Live.com and the Coleman Civic Center. One night with you, Coleman, to prove Elvis is still the king. Don't miss Christmas with Elvis at the Coleman Civic Center, Friday, December 9th at 7:30. Visit KingTribute Live.com for more information.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Back with you Thursday afternoon, another dry Thursday afternoon.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, isn't there a chance of some rain this weekend? Or there was at one time?
Yeah,
is
a small chance. And
are they taking
on
bets
what
on that
weather
yet?
Channels
for,
you look at,
entertainment
the
purposes
Weather Channel is giving 60% Wednesday.
Weather Channel is giving 60 Wednesday?
Yeah, but our local channels are not.
Oh.
So, I don't know what Jay's service is giving, but the Weather Channel, 60%, Channel 6, Fox 6, and 13, I think, given 20%. So,
man, I sure hope we wish we could get some. Hey, Jason, we were talking about a lot of basketball that's getting tipped off this time of the year. Something that's interesting to me and probably interesting to you as well, the 2017 basketball recruiting class. We all know that whether it's football, basketball, anything you're playing, it comes down to players. And whoever's got – normally who has the better players is going to win the game. I mean, that's not rocket science. But where we see it currently in the recruiting records are this. Alabama is sitting at number four. Number four, 2017. That. Auburn is at number seven. Now, when has it been since Alabama and Auburn have been in the top 10 in recruiting basketball?
I've never known it.
Me either.
So Alabama, I think, signed a couple of five-stars.
They did.
Auburn got a five-star and two four-stars.
They did. They sure did. So, hopefully basketball in the state's going to pick up and, would give us a reason to go watch a game.
All right. Mr. Chris is on. He is on with us. So, Chris, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Welcome to you guys. Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Well, we're fantastic.
Hey,
man.
We're dry, Chris. You got any water you can send us away?
Yeah. What, from Las Vegas?
From Las Vegas.
No.
We are on day 58 without rain. So
really?
Yeah, and normally here it stays pretty wet. So, but 58 days, no rain.
Well, I got a son in Seattle. Let me see what he could do.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet they don't. They hadn't gone 58. They may not go 58 minutes without rain.
Not too often, no.
Hey, Chris, let's get into a little football. This past weekend, it was upset weekend, we'll call it, in college football, with three of the top four losing. First off, which of these games didn't just come outright shock you, and how did the betting world do in these games with so many upsets?
Well, the USC game did not shock me. I think USC, we talked about it last week, they're really playing some good ball. If they didn't start out the season so bad, I think they'd have a chance to get into the Final Four and really make some noise. I mean, they are playing good football right now. But unfortunately, that beginning of the year counts too. And you can't just overlook them getting blasted by Alabama. But I think if they played Alabama now, it'd be a different story. Now, they'd still probably be double-digit underdogs, but I think it'd be a lot different game. So that one didn't surprise me. The one kind of funny game was Michigan and Iowa. We had one of our biggest players came in and put some pretty serious money on Michigan, laying laying at 22, and we wound up closing the game at Michigan minus 24. So when my boss called me, and he always likes to know who we're sweating, you know, he likes to go home and watch the games.
Right.
So I told him we needed Iowa pretty good. You know, so okay. You know, so when Iowa won the game, you know, with that late field goal, he calls me, oh, man, we must have killed him on that game. I said, well, not really. No, we had, even though we had our biggest guy on Michigan, we had tons of money line play on Iowa in that game. So if Michigan would have won by, you know, 1 through 21, you know, we'd have been in fine shape. But, of course, Iowa won that game outright. And, you know, so a lot of guys had him on the money line. And believe it or not, a lot of guys did have Pitt on the money line, too.
Wow.
Not nearly as many as Iowa. But when I came in Sunday morning, it was just funny. You know, we still did okay Saturday. Not great, but we did okay. We came in Saturday, or I come in Sunday, and the first ticket they showed me, a guy had a $35 ticket on a parlay, money line parlay, Pitt and Iowa.
Oh, my goodness.
Bucks, come back 5,000 some.
Oh. Oh, wow.
I mean, all you could do is laugh, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Get, I mean, what can you do at that point, you know? But, you know, I mean, it was just one of those kind of days. And, you know, as bookmakers, we're usually rooting for the underdogs. But if too many underdogs win, that could come by and bite you every once in a while. And that's what happened to us on Saturday.
Hey, that parlay sounded like somebody had had too many Bud Lights when they put that one together. So.
I think it was more Crown Royal, but we know it's Bud Light. Okay.
Oh, high dollar stuff.
Hey, Chris, we think, and the key word in this is think, the top four will change again since Michigan will be playing Ohio State. In your opinion, will the loser of this game drop from the top four, or is there a chance both could be playing for the national championship?
Well, you know, I think if Ohio State wins, you know, Penn State has their destiny in their own hands.
Right.
You know, now, they got blasted by Michigan, and, you know, they beat Ohio State. And, you know, listen, I'm a big Penn State fan, of course, and my assistant's in here. He's a big he's cringing as I speak right now. He's a big Buckeye fan. But, you know, it was he's giving me the dirty look, too. But, you know, really, in all honesty, I mean, if they played again, I mean, Ohio State would still beat probably a double-digit favorite, even on a neutral field. I mean, it was a great game by Penn State, and I think, like, you know, kudos do go to the winners, you know, more than just a vote. I think that is proper. But if Ohio State wins, Penn State, they would hold their destiny in their own hands. Now, that's still not all that easy. They have to be they have to win this week, which I think they will. Then they have to beat Michigan State, and I think they'll beat them. But then they have to go play, most likely, Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship, and I think that's going to be extremely difficult. But if they win and go all the way through, or if Wisconsin wins, you know, I think one of those two teams has to get in. And, you know, either Michigan or Ohio State, one of them is going to be out, I think. You know, I don't think they both get in myself, you know, but, you know, some crazy things happen. I think, you know, suddenly Oklahoma is actually back in the picture. They need a few miracles to happen, but I don't think that they're precluded at this point. I think that, you know, they could sneak in, and, you know, there's a couple teams out there with two losses that, yeah, I talked to a guy today, actually from ESPN. I don't know if you guys know Rufus Peabody. He's a guy I've known for a while, but he's like one of their analysts. He came into the South Point today. He and I talked. He says, you know, he's just trying to anticipate what the committee's going to think. And he says, you know, it's almost impossible to handicap, you know, human nature and a vote and everything. Well, just ask the pollsters who were trying to pick Clinton or Trump.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, it's really hard to figure out, you know. So, you know, he just says right now it's really wide open. He says, listen, Alabama, even if they lose the Iron Bowl and lose the SEC championship, they still might get in,
right,
you know, with two losses, you know. But that's about the only one that right now looks like a lock to get in. And after that, I mean, I think it's a total crapshoot. You know, so I don't know. I'm not sure what's going to happen after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, Chris, talking about the college football playoffs and the college football poll, what's your thoughts about the poll as it stands right now this week? You agree with it, you disagree with it, or you don't have any feelings one way or another?
Well, I don't disagree with it. You know, I think it was really hard for them to come up with the teams. You know, I know Clemson lost, but I mean, to me, Clemson still needs to be in there. Now, if they lose again or lose the ACC championship, then you have a pretty good beef for Louisville getting in. But at this point in time, I mean, Clemson did beat Louisville, and I know it was a real close game early in the season. Louisville at home, I mean, Clemson at home, you know. But, I mean, that's just the way this sport works. You know, it's not like baseball where you can play a seven-game series. You know, so you have to give Clemson, you know, the credit for winning, you know, when they did and as they did. You know, but, you know, they're still up in the air. I'm not sure who's going to come out of the other side of that. You know, I think, you know, Virginia Tech would be a decent opponent for them, but, you know, they've been inconsistent. They're probably a year away,
right?
I think. But, you know, I think they win out, and I think they go, and I think they deserve that. You know, Ohio State, according to my power ratings, is the second best team to Alabama. I think Louisville is the third best team as far as my power ratings go. But like I said, I still think what happens on the field has to count. I mean, you know, guy called me, you know, they know I'm a Penn State fan. Everybody knows that. So a guy called me from the Philly paper and asked me about it. And, you know, I talked about it. I think, you know, Penn State's not one of the four best teams in the country. But I do think if they win out, they deserve it. And the example I used was the San Francisco Giants from a couple years back. And they won 88 games, but they won the World Series. You know, I mean, I don't think that taints their victory in any way. You know, they did what they had to do. They kind of got a little bit lucky getting in. But after that, they won on the field. And I think people have to give credit for that, not just a vote as to who's the better team. I don't like that. I think that what you do on the field has to count for way more than what people think of you.
Right. Hey, you know, talking about Louisville for a minute, Chris, and you just mentioned you felt like by your statistics or the way you do your job, you think Louisville is the third best team in the country. Let's just hypothetically say that Louisville played a four-game schedule and they played against number one, number two, number three, and number four. After those four games were played, what do you think Louisville's record would be?
Well, you know, I mean, I know you're going to love hearing this, but I don't think anybody could beat Bama unless they beat themselves.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I think they can go. You know, and listen, we've all watched sports our whole lives. That happens all the time. You know. But that being said, I think it'd be very hard to beat Alabama. You know. Yeah, I think Petrino's a pretty good coach, but I don't think he's the coach that Urban Meyer is. You know, and I think that under those circumstances, I would bet on Urban Meyer and Ohio State over Louisville. Then after that, if they played Michigan, I think they'd beat Michigan myself.
Yeah.
And Washington, I think Washington just kind of laid an egg. They were ready to be beaten. And, you know, they might be a year away, too. This is Peterson's third year at Washington, so he doesn't quite have, like, everybody in place that he wants. But I think Peterson is a real good coach. And I'm not putting him with Meyer and Saban yet. But, you know,
right.
Give him a couple years at Washington, and he might be in that same conversation. I think he's just a really, really good coach that, you know, not that he's flown under the radar. He really made Boise what they are today. You know, but now he's got a chance at a real big school to really, you know, get back in the national picture on a consistent level, and I think he will.
Hey, Chris, well, you spoke of Penn State. We know Penn State is your love. Probably second to your lovely spouse, but so take a peek.
You can always get another wife. Let me just
tell you. So we know, Chris, that you had to take a peek at what lays ahead for Penn State. What has to happen for them to appear in the four-team playoff, and how big was the Ohio State win for Penn State and James Franklin?
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean, really going into the game, I mean, I had a lot of friends who were not very crazy about Franklin, and I guess I kind of defended him, but I could see their point too. You know, I wasn't crazy about him either, and you know, from the minute he got hired, everything looked great, except on Saturdays, not all the time, you know, and of course that's when, you know, the proof's in the pudding, you know, so. You know, he recruited really well, said best things. I thought conducted himself very professionally. It's still a difficult area up there because of what happened with Paterno and Sandusky.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're tiptoeing quite a bit, believe me. And I think he did pretty good dancing around that. But, you know, I'm looking at him. I mean, they're like, what, 20-some point favorite over Rutgers this week. I mean, they should win that game. You know, then they have to be Michigan State. Michigan State has been, you know, extremely inconsistent this year. But, you know, that means they've had some really good games, too. And, you know, that's you're going to be a big game for them. It's, you know, they're trying to make that into a rivalry. I'm not sure they've quite succeeded yet. But, like, they're the two biggest land-grant universities. I don't even know what that means, to be honest with you. But they're the two biggest land-grant universities in the United States. So they're trying to make that into a rivalry. Michigan State's already out of the bowl picture. So that would be almost like their bowl game. So they have them at home. They'll be a favorite. They should win that. And then, you know, they're most likely... It sounds like they're going to play Wisconsin, but it could still be Nebraska out of the other side of the bracket for the Big Ten. So they have to beat Rutgers. I think they'll beat Rutgers. Then they have to beat Michigan State, which might be kind of tough, and then beat, you know, either Wisconsin or Nebraska. And I think, you know, Nebraska is, you know, very beatable. But I've got to tell you, Wisconsin, this is a team that I think has really gotten much better during the course of the season. You know, they had a couple of their losses, too. You know, but you know their coach that Paul Christ, he's in the second year, and you know he lost twice, you know, by 7 to Michigan and by 7 to Ohio State. Michigan was on the road, Ohio State was at home. You know those aren't two real big blemishes on your record. I mean, that's pretty good. Yeah, so I really think if you know, if they win out, then they would deserve to, you know, which would include a victory over Penn State, then they would deserve to get into the Final Four. So, you know, that's kind of a scenario for both of them. And, you know, just kind of hard to believe at this point in time. It looks like Michigan and Ohio State, who I think are both very, very good teams, but I think there's a good chance they both be on the outside looking in at playoff time.
Right, boy, who ever thought we would be talking about Penn State at the beginning of the season right now? So.
Not me, buddy, boy. Let me tell you, I put their season win total up at 6.5. You know, and I'm the most biased Penn State bookmaker you'll ever find. But I thought, you know, if they could win 7 games, that'd be great. If they could win 8 games, it'd be a miracle. So, you know.
Hey, Ronnie and I thought if we were talking about Penn State at this time of year, it'd be because of a criminal investigation.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, believe me. I cringe when I hear that, but I know there's some truth to that.
Absolutely. They may put a statue up of Franklin out there in front of the stadium.
I'd go for that, you know. His job really, I thought, was in danger. There's no way it's in danger now. You know, he's really come on pretty good, you know. And, you know, I'm with that. I think the school should embrace him and, you know, give him a chance to. I mean, listen, he did a heck of a job at Vanderbilt.
He did.
I hope he does the same at Penn State.
Absolutely right.
Now, let's take a quick look, since not a lot going on with him right now. Alabama and Auburn this past week. Boy, first, if you watched the Auburn game, you saw the worst half of football that you have probably ever witnessed. No first downs in the second half, 154 total yards, and now they're blaming the injury bug, which Auburn is beat up. How did this loss affect the line with Alabama?
Well, I mean, I had to lower Auburn a couple points because I really thought that they were they were coming on and playing some really good football. You know, and then I think we're seeing a team that, you know, we talk about a couple teams being like a year away. And, you know, I think Auburn's probably one of those teams. They're a year away. But they made some big strides from last year. You know, let's not, you know, I don't want to knock them too much. You know, they started off the season, you know, they lost to Clemson, which now all of a sudden doesn't look like that bad of a loss. You know, they lost to A&M, which, again, probably not a terrible loss, but I think people at that point in time just didn't know what Auburn had in front of them. You know, and then they just start playing better, better, better. And, you know, I don't know what happened last week, in all honesty. I didn't get a chance to watch that game, probably not nearly as closely as you did. You know, but, you know, I liked them going into the game. I thought they'd handle a Georgia team who I don't really think much of. I thought that Auburn would handle them pretty easily. Obviously, they didn't. you know, but I think right now, again, we're looking probably, I think Bama probably got to be about an 18-point favorite at this point over Auburn, you know, unless something really strange were to happen at this point.
Yeah, and I'd be scared of it at 18, Chris.
Yeah, I know. I'm a real mathematical guy, though, you know what I mean? I have these numbers, and, you know, listen, I know sometimes they hold up, and a lot of times they don't hold up, you know, so, but I just go in and take my best shot, and, you know, we just kind of, I let my numbers speak for themselves, and then the betting speaks after
that.
Believe me, it's wrong often, you know, as often as it's not, trust me.
Yeah. So. You know, and talking about Auburn, and Jason and I talked about it a little bit earlier, if Sean White, apparently, then this is what I heard today, that he has had a separated shoulder. If he, I don't know how long that would take to, don't know the degree, you know, of the separation, or even if it is one, but if it is, he needs to be a heck of a lot better come week after next, or it potentially will be ugly as it was back in about 2012, because he couldn't throw it across the room and complete a pass. So he's got a long way to go, apparently, to get healthy in 2 weeks.
I'm looking at his numbers from last week. Wow. I didn't realize they were quite this bad. He was 6 of 20 for 27 yards. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst performances I've ever seen.
And, hey, Chris.
I hate to say it, but it really is.
Hey, I could go worse than that. It's actually worse. If you had watched the game, it's worse than the numbers are.
Oh my God.
He was so far off on his passes.
Yeah, yeah.
And if he ever did throw one, the receivers
wasn't expecting it.
They couldn't catch a cold.
It was as bad as I guess I've seen in D1.
Oh yeah.
That's pretty bad. Jeez.
And he's been outstanding. That's the thing about it. He's been leading the conference, you know, in completion percentage. So the kid's got to be hurt. All I'm saying is, gosh, he needs to get well in a hurry, because, you know, things are going to get really, potentially really nasty for him in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I brought up his game log. You know, he really, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we had like seven really good games in a row, you know, and all Auburn wins, you know. So, you know, if you're saying he's hurt, I would easily believe that, you know, because the kid's really played some pretty good football.
Yeah, he has. So, hopefully... You know, hopefully for him, he'll get well. I would hate the thoughts of putting him out there against Alabama if he's still hurt. I mean, truly hurt, because he could truly get hurt.
Yeah, that defense playing some great football right now. You don't want to put a wounded duck out there.
Absolutely. Hey, moving on, but talking about Alabama, once again, you know, Alabama destroyed Mississippi State, kind of turned it into a glorified scrimmage, apparently. Did anything surprise you about that game? And the second part of my question is, Bama's only been tested in the second half twice this season. Is there anywhere they're going to be tested in the second half before the playoffs?
Well, I mean, I think that's mostly up to Auburn at this point. You know, if they could test them, you know, in the Iron Bowl, you know, that's going to be it, I think. You know, but right now, I think I said on your show early in the year that, you know, you're not going to get rich betting on Nick Saban, but you're certainly not going to get rich betting against him. You know, I think I got to take that back. I think you'd get rich betting on him this year. You know, they've only not covered like once or twice. You know? So, I mean, it's not like they're sneaking up on anybody either. You know, so we as bookmakers, we pad the heck out of any number we post on Alabama, and they just keep covering. You know, I think. Listen, I mean, they're a very complete team, but I think this is one of the best defenses I've seen out of them, you know, in the Saban era. I mean, it's not perfect, you know, but nothing ever is.
Right.
But I think right now, this certainly, they just got a lot of kids on that defensive side of the ball that can make some big plays. And, you know, when you're looking at defense, I think you're looking at guys who are disruptors and, you know, can make that big play and score occasionally and do that sort of thing. And, you know, it seems like, Bama got 11 of them on the field at one time.
Right.
And even when they start subbing, they still got a handful of them coming in off the bench. So it's going to take some beating. And like I said earlier in the show, I think right now, I think Ohio State can beat them, but I think they'd have to play a really good game. But other than that, I think Bama's going to have to beat themselves with turnovers or mistakes or something like that. That's how they're going to get beat. If excuse me, if they will get beat.
Right. You know, Chris, and the thing about it is, and of course, I'm a big Alabama fan, so I probably look at it. You know, I know I do.
They're not a probably to it. No, what you're going to say? There's no problem
with
that
in our last 2 years. So.
That you know, I'm probably you know, tainted or my opinions are skewed. However, I would say this with the defensive club they've got right now. For most of the college teams, it's similar to them having to play against a pro defense because most of those kids out there at some point in time are going to get drafted, and a lot of them are going to be great NFL players potentially. So, I mean, it's like college kids playing against a team on Sunday. And I don't think that's an unfair description.
Yeah, obviously they're not mature enough, you know, to right. be NFL players at this point. And there is a lot of difference between a 20-year-old kid and a 23-year-old kid.
Exactly.
You know? But yeah, you're right. I mean, as far as athletic ability and that sort of thing, I think you're right. And I think Pete Carroll, when he finally left USC, and he had some great teams at USC too, and he used to laugh. He said, "I got 7 first round draft choices playing for me right now. If I go to the pros, I got 1." I don't know where that's going to go.
Oh.
I think, you know, Nick Saban can kind of say the same thing. And I think, you know, I don't know all the offense nearly as well, but I think that defense, you know, he's probably got 5-6 guys that are going to go in the first round at some point, maybe even more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why I say it's basically an NFL defense in the waiting, I guess, you know, would be.
Yeah,
way
I think you're
it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, let's jump over to the games that's on Sundays and Thursday, and that's NFL. My question is, as far as wagering goes for entertainment purposes only, who are the hot teams out there that's covering the spreads, and which team or teams, you know, are not able to even, wouldn't be able to cover a twin bed?
Well, right now, I think there's no doubt Dallas is the hot team. You know, they've been covering and winning, and you know, Dak Prescott, the old SEC quarterback from Mississippi State. And you know, I think people forgot how good this kid was—not so much last year, but 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, he was fantastic and definitely in the Heisman conversation till late in the year. You know, but you know, he's been fantastic, and that's been a big story in the NFL, and deserves to be. Other than that, I think you see the Seahawks all of a sudden are kind of coming into their own. You know, they had some troubles with Russell Wilson, had some injury problems earlier in the year, and you know they're not quite the complete team they were a couple years back. There's a few holes on that team, particularly running back, but also offensive line is not nearly as good as it was, but. I think right now when you're seeing that defense and seeing you got Wilson back there, a quarterback who can make a lot of plays, I think they're a team that people are looking to get on. And, you know, they beat New England last week, and, you know, New England was the team, and I think they still are in all honesty, but, you know, they got beat last week. I think people are looking to get on Seattle now and looking for them to have a pretty good ride through the rest of the way. But don't turn your back on New England, I can tell you that. You know, I know they're a big favorite on the road this week, but, you know, I'd be hard-pressed to bet against them. I think it's not a very good home field advantage for San Francisco and that new stadium. They really lost a lot moving there. And I have some friends from down there, and they told me it's a very antiseptic feel in that stadium.
Yeah.
You know, the way they designed it, it was more, you know, it was – you know, it's like kind of for the wine and cheese crowd. You know, I know that's a little bit of a prejudice about Northern California, but in this case, it's kind of true. You know, it really was made for those kind of guys. And that, you know, listen, you guys are SEC guys. You know, that's not how you win football games with a home field advantage. You know?
Right.
That ain't gonna help you. So I think that I'd be very careful betting against New England this week. And you know, even though you're laying chalk on the road like that is something you probably shouldn't do over a long period of time, this might be the spot to do it in.
I hear you. Hey, again, speaking of the NFL, are there any games on your radar or games that you have interest in this weekend, Chris?
Yeah, hey, it's me, Ronnie. It's Chris. Of course I have opinions. You crazy? What'd you do to this guy, Jason?
Hey, he's been on smoking it a little bit.
What happened? Holy cow. Yeah, in the NFL, I got a few I like. Yeah, I like the Lions this week over the Jaguars. I think the Lions, probably a team that people don't realize that they're pretty good. And you know, a lot of us who are not from the South, we all made fun of Jim Bob Cooter, you know, as the offensive coordinator for Detroit. But you know what? The guy's done a hell of a job.
Absolutely,
he's good. And you know, Matthew Stafford, a kid that's always been. I think kid that's always had a talent, but, you know, never quite put it together for a variety of reasons. And believe me, coaching was a big part of that.
Sure.
But I think he's got the right guy, the right offensive coordinator. You know, they seem to be on the same page. I like Detroit. I think Detroit's a pretty good team. I like the Dolphins this week. You know, I know they got the kid from California who's going to finally make his first start. That's usually not good in the NFL,
yeah,
by the way.
You're right.
A kid making his first start. But Miami's playing really good football right now. And, well, I'll speak highly of a kid out of Penn State, Cameron Wake, who's really, in the last four games, playing some great football on the defensive line for Miami. He's really disrupting, and their defense has really turned into you know, something to keep an eye on. So keep an eye on Cameron Wake, and I think he gives Jared Goff an awful lot of trouble there. And then the other one, I mentioned the Seahawks. You know, I like the Seahawks this week. You know, again, going against another rookie quarterback, you know, Carson Wentz. Kid has, you know, been pretty good in all honesty, but he's been much, much better at home. If you look at his splits, you know, much better at home than on the road. Now he's going up to Seattle, and I mean, Seattle's a tough place for you know, a veteran quarterback to play well and win. And you know, I don't think he's got it in him this week. And again, not necessarily a big knock on the kid.
Right.
I think any rookie quarterback's just going to be really tough. And we might have some weather up in Seattle this week too, and that's not going to make it any easier on him either. So those are the three games I kind of like the best this weekend.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Good deal,
Chris. Chris, we're running a little bit behind, so I've got to throw in a few of these crazy questions as we always do.
Since I got them
I'm ready for you, Jason.
I got them all last.
I hope you get revenge this week, Chris.
I know.
We're not ever going to hear the end.
That's
of this,
right. I'm really good at useless Lordy. Information.
All right, today is over and under. Chris likes the betting line, so we're doing like over and under today. All right, Ronnie, since you are the defending champ,
yes, I am.
Pick. Do you want to go first or second?
Second.
All right, Chris, we'll start with you. And this, folks, this is important stuff you won't find out anywhere else, so be sure to listen. Chris, how many cows does it normally take to make one football? How many cows have to die to make one football? The over-under number. How many? All right, the number is 217.
To make one football?
To make one football. Over or under?
I'm going under.
Oh, I'm under.
Under.
It's got to be.
Both of you are wrong. 600 is the number.
To make a football?
To make one football. I have no idea why.
You're back on the reefer. What you're on.
All right.
They drug test us here, so yeah, I'm clean. I got to tell you.
They must just take one little splotch off of each.
Oh, I've never heard of such foolishness.
All right, run it to you.
Okay.
Wilson Sporting Goods have been supplying footballs for the NFL, and was it before or after this year, 1958?
And that's over or under?
Right.
Over.
Over. So you're saying later.
Yeah.
All right. Chris?
I'm going to go under.
And Chris is right.
Dead
the actual year is 1941.
Uh-huh. All right. He's got me by one.
All right. To you, Chris. How many NFL players have caught, rushed, and thrown for a touchdown in the same game against the same team? The number is four. Is it more or less?
Caught,
wow.
Caught, rushed, and thrown.
And thrown. Wow. I'm going to go over.
I'm going under.
And it is under. Only three players have done that.
Nah.
Walter Payton, and I forgot who the other one is.
Tied up.
All right. You, Ronnie. Within 2 years of finishing their career, 86% of NFL players go bankrupt. Is that number over or under? The real number, over or under?
Under.
All right, Chris?
No, I'm going to go over.
And it is under 78%.
Oh, man.
All right, Chris, you need this one for a tie.
Yeah.
If you have a tie, we'll have to go into a tiebreaker. All right, Chris, NFL cheerleaders make around $150 per game. Over or under 150?
Under.
No.
I'm under.
And it is under $75. So. Hey, and Ronnie was smart enough
one.
To play that one on the same side you did. I could tell the way.
That's right. I couldn't lose that.
He should have had a secret ballot on that last one. Yeah, put him in a voting booth with a card around him.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, man, we appreciate you joining us again. And
don't feel bad, Chris. You just 0-2.
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to get to sleep tonight. Honestly, God, I don't know.
All right, man. Hope you have a great weekend, Chris. We look forward to talking to you Tuesday of next week, since next Thursday is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, sounds terrific, guys. Have a great weekend yourselves.
Y'all too.
Bye,
Chris.
Right.
See you, bud.
Bye-bye.
All right, Sports Talk Live 502. We'll be right back with Dan Vosta, Campus Insider.
We'll be playing We Are the Champions.
Yeah, never hear the end of it.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center. Choose the apple over the cookie. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why at Coleman Regional, we offer so many. Water aerobics classes, blood drives, CPR certification, tobacco treatment programs, over 1,000 screenings. Most all are totally free. Our full list of programs and doctors is available online today at ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional. Live exceptional. Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95. Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP Coleman.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Bibb County Coroner Dowdy McGee is going to serve as sheriff until Governor Bentley names a replacement to serve the rest of Keith Hanna's term. The Bibb County Sheriff Keith Hanna found dead in his office from a gunshot wound. It's unclear if that wound was self-inflicted. Funeral services set for Friday for a 7-year-old Hartzell girl whose battle with cancer caught the attention of the nation. Kaylee McClendon's story shared on social media, leading people all over America to pray for a full recovery. Sadly, however, her mother says Kaylee died at home yesterday. The girl suffered from a very aggressive form of cancer at the base of her brain. In Jefferson County, some are still talking about long lines on election day, like at Hunter Street Baptist Church, where voters complained about long waits. Chairman of the Board of Registrars, Barry Stevenson, says more than 7,000 people voted there.
So we'll come back with a plan to either split precincts, add precincts, tweak precincts.
He says some Hoover voters might be redirected to the Hoover Met or Rec Center. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. In Birmingham, a deadly fight between two brothers. The victim identified as 73-year-old Walter Milhouse. Police say his 77-year-old brother shot him in the stomach in an incident on 6th Street in the Thomas community. A man shot and killed when he showed up at his ex-girlfriend's house uninvited. Lee County Sheriff's Office says they found the body of Kenneth Justice Williamson in the backyard of a mobile home. Investigators say he was confronted by two men when he arrived. They aren't saying who shot him. An Anniston man barricades himself in a house for hours. Cops arresting him at a home on Eastwood Drive. The man wanted for sexually assaulting a 15-year-old girl earlier this year. A preliminary autopsy shows a man who attacked a Selma police officer took his own life. The suspect being booked in the jail when he pulled a box cutter, attacked a clerk and an officer, and then went into a cell where he committed suicide. District Attorney's Office says an officer shot the man, but that was not his fatal wound. Piedmont City Council raises police pay to $15 an hour from $13.48 an hour. They want to keep them in their jurisdiction. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here? with so many meetings. You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In money news, the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation says five Gulf states are getting nearly $370 million for 24 projects to restore natural resources damaged by the 2010 oil spill. Alabama getting $63 million of that. Those looking for a job or job change might find it through a new initiative. Alabama Works is a one-stop web portal for job seekers, students, and employers. The public-private effort will be rolled out across seven state regions beginning next year. Homewood in Jefferson County, the best suburb in Alabama, according to a website called niche.com. They did rankings in every state for factors like cost of living, education, home values, commuting times, and overall quality of life. After Homewood, Hoover, Vestavia Hills, and Mountain Brook also top cities. They are also located in Jefferson County. All the 10 top suburbs in Alabama are in Jefferson or Shelby counties. And AAA reports average price per gallon of gas in Alabama at $1.98 a gallon. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.
Back with you, 5:08, and it's getting dark outside, so...
That's right.
Hey, that means it's time for Dr. Dan. Dan Vasta joins us from Campus Insider. Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Thursday to you all.
Dan, I want to ask one question. We asked our past guest, he was from Vegas. Do you have any rain in Chicago you could send our way?
Oh, no. We may get some, though, on Saturday, so if I can, I'll do my best and send it over. It may even be a little light snow.
Oh.
It's like 60s today, and then going to be low 40s on Saturday. So, yeah, that's Chicago weather for you, but I'll see what I can do for you guys.
Hey, Dan, we are, what, 58 days, right?
58.
58 days without rain here now, so.
Wow.
All right, let's talk about football. Get off the weather and get on to some football. Dan, last weekend was filled with upsets as number 2, 3, and 4 fell like dominoes. First, which of these three was the biggest surprise, and which one shouldn't have shocked anybody, or two shouldn't have shocked anybody?
Yeah, I thought the biggest upset was, in my opinion, despite the point spread, I would still go with Michigan at Iowa, just for the fact that I thought this game might have been the closest. One of the closer of the three, but I just didn't find a way or see a way in which the Hawkeyes could score any points, and they didn't, which is even makes it more amazing to me, is how much of a stinker got stunked offensively. Michigan was completely bottled up, shut down, and to make everything worse, Wilton Spates hurt his shoulder, MGo Blog, reported he broke his collarbone. Right now, the Michigan staff and Harbaugh are just saying that he's likely not going to play against Indiana. We'll see what they do against Ohio State if he can recover in time for that, depending on what the issue was with the shoulder. Nonetheless, the offense, just over 100 yards passing, just over 100 rushing. Abysmal for a team that's, you know, the trio of skilled players at tight end and Jake Butt and their two receivers in Amara Darbo and J.U. Chesson are all very good future pros, but could potentially win the Mackey and potentially be a first or second rounder. So it was a terrible display of offense. They brought back football, I felt like, for about 60 years backwards in time, is what the Maize and Blue showed up Saturday night. It was their first true road game against a Big Ten opponent that had at least one win at the time. Their previous matchups were Sparty and Rutgers, and they're about as dismal as it gets. So one more road game, and coming up in 2 weeks, and it's against the Buckeyes. So they got to pick up the pieces quickly. So biggest upset and disaster was Michigan. I called USC over Washington, so I thought USC was playing better at the time. Washington was dinged up and is now even more hurt. And obviously that loss was a bad one. But I expected that despite being nearly double-digit dogs, I thought USC was playing about as almost as good as anybody in the country. Clemson, certainly three-plus touchdown favorites, was definitely a little surprising, but they flirted with disaster before. Pitt's a respectable team, you know, slightly above average per se, but no way, shape, or form did I think Iowa was going to be able to pull off the shocker. Just quietly, you know, I was very, very surprised because I felt like Iowa at best is a mid-tier team in the Big Ten, but offensively, they're very challenged, and Michigan outstunk them because it was a defensive battle, and Michigan suffered a tough loss, but obviously win these next two games and they'll be all right. But it may all come down crashing quickly for the Maize and Blue.
All right. Hey, the college football poll, as you know, looks different this week. Give us your thoughts on it, and did they get it right?
I don't think they got everything right. I think for the most part it was all right, but certainly I didn't think Clemson and Michigan would drop out of the top five or six, but I really did not see any chance of them staying this high. When you look at after Bama and Ohio State, and there you have Michigan and Clemson, 3-4, did not see that happening. Both suffered pretty bad losses. I thought the Michigan loss was even worse despite being on the road. This is an Iowa team that might play in the Belk Bowl, the Music City Bowl, or perhaps the Pinstripe Bowl. Those are very good bowl games, mid-tier at best, being polite. So yeah. I thought they should have dropped to at least five and maybe even six right below, or I should say right above Washington, but below Louisville. And I thought that was a team that disrespected the committee. Louisville's got one loss. Their resume's not very good in terms of the top teams, but I could care less about your resume. If you're the best teams in the country and you've proven it, I'm going to put you in. The committee's job is to put the four best teams in. Doesn't matter if they win their conference championship or their own division. Their job is to get the four best teams. And I'll take Louisville all day right now over the likes of Washington, Michigan, Wisconsin, Penn State. And it's unfortunate right now, but luckily Louisville has some big-time games starting with tonight in Houston, on national TV tonight. And then, of course, Kentucky, their non-conference. So the schedule is getting a little better for the Ville, and they may need to score 100 points in the next 2 weeks. So I thought Louisville kind of got rigged a little bit in their ranking, and right now it's not looking great for them to get in. They may need a little help, such as Michigan winning out, which would bump Ohio State out, and also in the process would bump both Penn State and Wisconsin out. So if that happens, Louisville's definitely in. If it doesn't happen, they're going to be sweating it out until we get to, you know, Selection Sunday in just 3 weeks.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Dan. Hey, I got a couple questions here for you. First one is, you know, one thing that seems to remain the same this entire football season is that Alabama is the best team in college football. They've been in the number one slot the entire year. Give me your thoughts on last week's game. It's kind of a sleeper for them as they, you know, as they handed it to Mississippi State. And do you see anybody left, at least before the playoffs, that can even be competitive?
Yeah, I mean, they were just dominant against Stark Vegas. Mississippi State game, fortunately for them, was in Tuscaloosa. But it's amazing how dominant their defense is. Just completely shut down Fitzgerald and any running tack that the Bulldogs showed just a few weeks ago against Texas A&M. But Jalen Hurts is seemingly getting better each and every week. And many people question their passing attack. And our Darius Stewart had a very lovely game, and obviously Calvin Ridley, O.J. Howard, plenty of weapons out there, and Hurts is getting them the ball, something that the last few quarterbacks at Alabama have done a pretty good job, but you can make a case with his development, passing, and then in the red zone, he's borderline unstoppable in terms of running the ball. I feel like he's one of the more talented Bama quarterbacks we've seen, at least in the Nick Saban era, and certainly he could have a bright, bright future and a long future ahead of him, potentially being a four-year starting quarterback for the Tide. So they're just dominant. It doesn't matter who they play, it seems. Every week, they just worry about their own competition, not the rest of the country. And they play to perfection each and every week, and they seemingly get better each and every week. And I don't really see any team that knocking them off right now, obviously. The only two teams, and maybe three, that I would go with would be arguably still the best quarterbacks in the country. And that's Lamar Jackson of Louisville, Deshaun Watson of Clemson, and then JT Barrett of Ohio State, who you could argue is a little more improved version of Jalen Hurts and doesn't have quite the pieces that Hurts has, but Ohio right. State has a lot of speed on offense, a very, very good offensive line, similar to Bama, though. Bama, you know, don't want to call them finesse, but they are tremendous pass blockers whenever they do decide to throw the ball 20-plus times a game. So I'd love to see Louisville or Clemson match up with them because they can score some points even on the Bama defense. But obviously those defenses aren't quite as good as Bama's, so I think they would score some points to counter. But I think those two or three teams, I'd love to watch potentially on New Year's Eve night and a few weeks later for the national title.
Great. Hey, let's move over to the east side of the state of Alabama now where they wear the blue and the orange.
Blue and the orange, and we don't play football.
And they don't play football very well. This past weekend, they went to Athens, Georgia, with everything in the world to play for. And, you know, just laid an egg, 154 yards, total offense, no first downs the second half. What's your thoughts about their performance?
Yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate because, I mean, you know, the game plan was for Georgia. Is that a pretty good stout run defense up front, load the box up. Auburn doesn't have a healthy Sean White or Cameron Petway, who was in that going into that game, the SEC leading rusher, and it was unfortunate that Auburn could not run the ball worth anything, and it really snowballed in the second half because the young, unproven, per se, receivers for Auburn are going to have to step up, you know, in the near future because with Sean White not maybe being healthy again, at least until maybe the postseason, at least fully healthy, as well as Petway, the offense is not the same, and it's going to be really tough for Auburn because without their offense rolling, it's going to be tough for them to score a lot of points. So without scoring a lot of points for Auburn, as you know, in the SEC, even against opponent in Georgia, it's just tough slim. It's slim sticking right. because they really couldn't get anything going. And I questioned this offense, obviously, all summer and all season. So without their running game, they're not going to be able to move the ball too well. So they got to wake up in a hurry. Hopefully they can get healthy to have a shot against Alabama. But without full health, this offense isn't the most talented team in the country. It's just they were so darn good in the trenches that they could keep it simple, stupid. Run 4 or 5 yards yeah. every carry and just let the defense lick their chops and pin their ears back after the passers. When you're trailing games, it just makes it so much tougher for a team that's fairly simplistic. So when they're struggling to move the ball at all, it's going to be tough to win big competition games such as, the battle, annual battle with the Georgia Bulldogs. So they can rest up this week, per se, in their FCS competition. But against Alabama and potentially a New Year's-like bowl game, against maybe even the Big Ten, will be tough if they can't get healthy and get back to what they were so good at, was running the ball well, makes it everything easier for the quarterback and those young receivers don't have to be reliable, as counted on to be as reliable.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, look into your crystal ball and give Jason and I an idea of where you think Auburn may end up going bowling this year. And also, the second part of that question is, if we look forward to next year, do you see them being improved or do you see more of the same?
I think I see more of the same right now. They're going to be, still a very good recruiting team, very good program. But they're going to have to get a big-time superstar quarterback or some more proven receivers. I think Nate Craig Myers is the guy that hasn't really had the opportunity so much this year, but his future could be bright. They're going to need those youngsters to step up for the near future. But a lot of the good teams now have dual-threat quarterbacks or legit pocket-passing guys that have no problem chucking the ball 40-plus times a game. So I think there's still going to be a spread running attack type of team that we saw in 2013 with Nick Marshall and Trey Mason. They got to get back to having a burner at quarterback or even get better in the trenches. But many forgot that team had Sammy Coates and Melvin Ray was big in that championship game. They had other reliable receivers, even at tight end. So this team isn't quite the same as that team, obviously, at the skilled players, and they're going to need to get better there. So unless that improves, you're going to see similar to 8 wins. You go 2 Clemson, 2 LSU, 2 Arkansas, and A&M next year. Good luck winning more than 2 of those.
Right.
And then, yeah, you get to host Georgia, Ole Miss, Bama. I mean, that's 7 games against arguably all top 25 teams. So you're going to be favored to win 8 or 9 games again, more than likely, but it's going to be tough to win, more than 8 or 9 games unless they prove upon that passing attack and getting a little bit more reliable of a quarterback, potentially dual threat, but open up the playbook a little bit because once your running game does slow down, you won't have much success like we've seen throughout the season.
Yeah. As we look back over last week's games, Dan, we kind of do this, or you do this with us every week. Give us what you view was the biggest surprise of last week's games, and then what was the biggest disappointment last week?
Yeah. I think biggest disappointment was certainly Michigan losing to Iowa. Just didn't see that coming by any means, and it's a tough loss, and now you lose your quarterback potentially. So they can go from potential playing Bama for the national championship to now, at best, potentially an Orange Bowl as a large bid for the Big Ten. If they were to get two teams in, you could see them in the Orange Bowl. Or if they don't get two teams, maybe Rose Bowl, but potentially only the Orange Bowl. So playing for the national championship and then a consolation prize, not quite as much love for the Maize and Blue with that tough loss to Iowa. Surprise, I would go with lots to choose from. LSU gashed Arkansas. Certainly didn't see Texas A&M losing. But I'm gonna go with Pitt going on the road at Clemson. Certainly a little surprising. I thought they'd be able to score some points, but Clemson defensively just had some major woes. And I was surprised with how easy it looked for the Pitt Panthers to move the ball down the field. And they came up big in crunch time. So the kicker, of course, Chris Blewett, he had a game winner earlier in this year against Georgia Tech. Went off the goalpost. And this one, no worries for there. On the road at Clemson, certainly a surprise. And then, so that really caught my surprise. And there was quite a few, but I would go with Pitt, just a nice victory on the road at Clemson. Now they've beaten both Clemson and Penn State, who are both obviously ranked in the top 10.
Yeah, I would agree with you on the biggest surprise. I watched that game as well, Clemson and Pitt. And Pitt really, they looked a lot better than what their record was, and their field goal kicker is outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely. And sorry for answering your previous question. Count me in for right now. Auburn had them playing Nebraska in the Outback Bowl. So it should be a good match if they do meet up. We'll see how the next 2 weeks go for Auburn. Not looking great right now for the New Year's Six with the way LSU is playing. If LSU beats A&M on Thanksgiving, there's no chance that the Sugar Bowl takes a pass on the Bayou Bengals. But still, if they can go to the Outback Bowl for Auburn, very good season, potentially get a win there, at least get to 9 wins, maybe more potentially. But I think that would still be very good. That's probably a worst case. Some are projecting potentially the Belk or Music City Bowl, but Outback Bowl is looking pretty darn good. Potentially Tennessee, if they represent the East in the championship game of the SEC, they'll probably land the Citrus. So if Auburn goes the Outback in Tampa, not too shabby of a consolation.
I agree. Hey, who was your standout player of the week last week?
Yeah, Bayou Bengals. Darius Geis was just sensational for the Bayou Bengals. Over 200 yards rushing, pair of touchdowns. Dynamic duel with Leonard Fournette, but the future's bright. LSU always gets top five talent, so it seems on paper. And they don't always prove it necessarily every game or every season, but Darius Geis looks like the next long line of stud LSU backs of the Jeremy Hills, Spencer Wares, Leonard Fournette potentially having that type of stardom because they're so good in the trenches, similar to Auburn. LSU's now looks like they're starting to play their best ball. Minus that no-show, per se, offensively against the Tide. They've been very good. Hasn't played the greatest competition, but this is what we want from LSU. Gets close to double-digit wins, even though they played 11 games in the regular season with that game this weekend against Florida. Darius Geis, my stud of the week.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Dan. Before we wrap it up here, got to ask you a couple of questions. First, give us your top four teams that Dr. Dan's top four.
You got it. So right now, my two semis, I have Bama in the Peach Bowl, and that should be a good semi. Another matchup in the Fiesta Bowl, I have Bama against Bama, and then the winner will take on Bama.
Oh, yeah.
I only wish. I still project in, obviously Louisville's five right now, but I still think they're going to find a way. It's going to be tough. They'll be sweating it out potentially if Michigan loses to Ohio State. Then the Wisconsin-Penn State winner in the Big Ten title could get the slight nod over Louisville, which I'm sure you guys will love, or at least some of you will, because Wisconsin-Penn State, not exactly the most explosive offenses. Bama throttled Wisconsin last year. If Wisconsin does get the nod, I think Bama will be close to 17-point favorites in the semis. So I'm hoping we don't see that. I don't think we will, but it's going to be very close. So put me on the record, Bama 1 seed, Louisville 4 seed in the Peach Bowl. And then in the Fiesta, I think we're going to get Ohio State and Clemson at this moment in time. So that would be two great semis, and potentially see Bama Ohio State, or like last year, Bama Clemson. So we should see some great games, and we'll have to wait and see how the next 2 weeks, anything is possible, but I'm expecting Louisville to have two big-time victories to really get the committee's attention, despite not winning their own conference or division, and I think Lamar Jackson's the perfect player to help get them that attention.
All right, good deal. Hey, we're going to shift gears, Dan, throw this in, do a little over-under to wrap it up, and see if you can beat Runny. Runny took our guy
right
from Vegas on and actually beat him, but we got
smoked
a different
him
set of questions.
Smoked
here.
Him.
All right, Runny, since you're the champion so far, we'll let you go first. Over or under, the average NFL attendance is 73,940.
Under.
Dan?
I'm agreeing with him. I'm going to go under.
It is under, 66,957.
Yep.
All right, Dan, to you, the average value of an NFL team, and this was actually done in 2012, the average value of an NFL team is $875,000. Over or under?
I'm going to go slightly over.
All right, Runny.
I'm over.
All right, you're both right. It is $1
billion. Oh, that's a little bit more
noise. Yeah.
All right, Runny. The average value of a Major League Baseball team is $680,000.
One of these is going to have to be under, because you wouldn't keep saying 600-something. Are you saying 600-something thousand or 600-something million?
Yeah, 680 million.
Okay.
I just had 680 right
Yeah,
there.
Okay. 680 million.
680
over or under?
Million.
Under.
All right, Dan?
I'm going to agree. I'm going to go under.
And you're both right, $523 million.
We're tied.
All right, back to you, Dan. Super Bowl snacks. How many pounds of chips are consumed during the Super Bowl or Super Bowl Sunday? 800.
Man, I wish I could just say a lot.
Yeah. 800,000 pounds.
What? Can I say over or under?
Yeah, over or under.
I'm going to go over.
Over.
I'm going right over. That's what I was.
It is. It is 12 million pounds.
Jeez.
All right. Runny, back to you. The first recognized football game was in 1897. Over or under? Earlier or later?
Earlier.
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 All right. Dan?
I'm going to agree. I believe this is earlier to my knowledge.
Right.
I'm going to say Dan knows it.
Yeah, 1869. All right, the last one.
We have both got them all correct.
Right.
Yes.
True or false, Dan? This is 50-50 chance.
Oh, okay.
The G on the Green Bay Packers helmet stands for greatness.
I believe that's false.
All right, Runny?
False.
And you're both wrong. It is true.
No, are you serious?
Right. It does not stand.
Oh, man.
I think I would have known.
Jason sounded really proud he got that one right.
That's right. He's glad he tricked us, Dan.
Save the best for
last.
I would have never believed that either.
So Dan and I tied. We both missed
tied.
One. All right.
Let me give you a tiebreaker real quick. We can't go on a tie. All right. Here we go. This is again in 2012. The wealthiest team, who goes first? I'm trying to hurry this
I
up.
Think it's me.
All right, Runny. The wealthiest team in the NFL was the Dallas Cowboys with an estimated value of $2.6 billion.
Over or under?
Over or under?
Over.
All right, Dan?
Wow. I gotta agree with him. We haven't got one wrong when we agree other than the last one.
And you're both wrong. Over.
We both missed again.
Yeah, it's $2.1 billion.
Dang.
All right, I gotta try one more, and if we don't get it, we'll just call it a tie.
All right, last one.
Let's see what we can find here. The Fields yellow line first down marker cost, now this is the average cost, $15,000 per football TV broadcast. The Fields yellow line first down marker that you see on TV cost $15,000 per TV broadcast. Dan?
I'll go slightly under.
All right.
Just so somebody's going to win, I go over.
And it is over. $20,000.
Here we go. Cha-ching, baby.
All right, Dan, man, we appreciate you joining us on Thursday. And next week we'll be doing this on Tuesday, if it's okay with you.
You got it.
All right, thanks. Have a great weekend, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
You too. Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
That's Mr. Dan, the man, Vasta.
Campus Insider, Chicago, Illinois.
Stay with us. Rex Chambers coming up with a little fishing action. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband Cellular Service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service through another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Friday, December 9th at the Coleman Civic Center, the music, the moves, the memories of the king lives on. Christmas with Elvis, the ultimate tribute event as Stephen Freeman performs Elvis's Christmas gospel and rock and roll hits live on stage. Advance tickets on sale at KingTributeLive.com and the Coleman Civic Center. One night with you, Coleman, to prove Elvis is still the king. Don't miss Christmas with Elvis at the Coleman Civic Center, Friday, December 9th at 7:30. Visit KingTributeLive.com for more information.
Welcome back, Sports Talk Live. It is 5:34, and we got our fishing buddy online. He just sent me a picture and makes me salivate. All right, Rex, how big was that one?
Really big.
Oh, man. It looks good, son.
That's a big. Just show the people. Oh, wait, never mind. that was a beautiful, beautiful Smith Lake spot from yesterday. Morning.
Oh, man.
What time's dinner, Rex?
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, wow. Boy, that looks... What was it five? Was it...
It was right under five.
Yeah, that's what I... That's,
well, what was so good is we had about six of them that size.
Six of them? Wow.
Yeah, had a really, really good day. Although, it wasn't a... great numbers. Sometimes you get the numbers, sometimes you get the quality. Yesterday we had the quality.
Fantastic. Were you out with a client, or are you just practicing for a tournament or something?
I wish that would have been a client day. That was just a fun day. Me and another guy just got out, didn't have anything to do, just went out fishing and had a really good time looking for new areas to fish to try to change things up a little bit.
Boy, that
that right there, it doesn't take many of those to have you back the next day or so, that's for sure.
No, and I wanted to go back today and didn't do it, but I've got to be on gunner for the next few days. I had to switch modes, get out of spot mode, get off Smith Lake, get back to gunner for a little while.
Exactly. Rex, let me ask you, about this fish and the day you had yesterday. You caught some big fish. Was this early in the morning? What was up with that?
Heavy fog yesterday, so we probably idled in the fog because we knew there were several boats out in the water, and we probably idled for close to an hour just to get to a first starting spot.
Wow.
But, it was an early morning bite. I say early morning. It ended for us about 10:30 or so.
Okay.
As far as top water bite goes, we caught a few other than top water, but all the big ones were on top water yesterday, and it was made for a fun morning.
Wow. Now, were they just schooling out in the middle, or were you off of points, or you had spots?
No schoolers.
Okay.
We never seen a school of fish schooling, and you would think the kind of morning it was perfect conditions
right.
for schooling fish. Never seen a fish school. We just found some suspended fish, and we made them come up and eat.
Wow. And could you tell us what you caught it on?
Top water.
That's good enough. Top water,
It was really hodgepodge. I mean, I throw, everybody knows me, knows I throw a Lucky Craft gunfish a lot.
Right.
Yeah, there's food, Lucky Craft gunfish, and even caught a couple on a prop bait, just top water prop bait.
Yeah. Did you guys stay and make a day of it, or was it just you fished until the top water bite was gone, then you were gone?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we got out there about 11:30 and called it quits. But I did talk to a couple of buddies that stayed there the rest of the day and said they caught lots of smaller fish up in the afternoon and the evening that did come up in school.
Okay.
Once the water got a little warmer, they schooled a little bit. We missed it because we left too early, but we done had our fun.
I got absolutely you had. Hey, what's the water temp right now, Rex?
It's 64, 65, and it'll get up to 68 during the sunny days.
Okay.
But, I think tomorrow's going to be the last day that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, we're supposed to have some rather chilly weather, are we not, for at least one night?
Tomorrow will be a great day to be on the lake. I think the high tomorrow's like 74, 75,
okay.
And the high for Saturday's like 56 or so.
Okay.
Right. Cold front coming in tomorrow night. And fish will feed really good tomorrow.
So what will, with this cold front coming in on, like say, tomorrow night, Saturday, what will that do to the fish or the fishing for the next couple, 3 days?
No, it'll cause, Saturday will be a tough bite just because the cold front's going to be hitting and things are going to be changing.
Right.
But after Saturday and Sunday, you can pretty much look for the late fall, early winter patterns to start taking place. So
okay.
Catching a lot of fish, and it's going to be spinnerbait time and jig time here before long.
Okay. Switching gears, you said you were going to be at Gunnersville for the next, or tomorrow anyway. What's your plan over there?
Oh, that's big swim baits and big spoons for some reason or another. That's what they're biting right now. A lot of people catching frogfish. I've seen some really, really good catches of frogfish this past week. But I'll be on Gunnersville tomorrow. And actually, I have to go back to Smith on Sunday. I got a trip on Smith Lake Sunday. But after that Sunday trip, I'll probably be on Gunnersville for the next couple of 3 weeks.
I got you. Hey, Rex, now that it is starting to, finally cool off some, or, we before too awful long, maybe we get into a winter pattern. For those guys or gals that, that have a boat, but when it gets cold, they're done with it. What do you need to do to secure and take care of your boat, your motor, that come next spring you don't have any major problems?
Two things. Make sure you have the gas out of your lines and your motor. Turn the gas off, run it empty. And then no water. Get the water out of the boat, water out of your compartments, water out of your lower unit, and you're good to go.
Okay. Not that complicated with, with an outboard, with, somebody that's had a pleasure boat with an inboard outboard. little bit different situation. Of course, you still got to get the water out, but you got plugs that you got to deal with, correct?
Right. And you don't want the fuel sitting in your lines all winter either. If you do, if you're going to leave fuel in the tank, fuel in the lines, make sure to put an additive in there.
Right.
So that ethanol don't eat through your lines while your boat's sitting up for
right.
a few months.
Because it certainly does, doesn't it?
Oh, it will. It will.
Exactly. Hey, I know you got things that you're doing tonight. I got one more question. If somebody's – well, actually two things. If somebody is going out to go to Smith tomorrow to fish or the next day or so, want to fish some top water, what kind of if they're a novice and don't have a clue, kind of what kind of equipment would they need on Smith?
No, just like I said, all you do is big popper, any kind of walking bait, Zaris boot, get on the points, get close to the main channel and the long points or around some deeper boat docks.
Yeah.
But boat docks sitting over 30, 40 foot of water is holding some top water fish first thing in the morning up to about lunch. And that's the ticket now. Just find some deep water off of long points and throw a little top water or some little shallow crankbaits. I'm going to get down there 12, 14 feet.
Right.
And that's like medium diving crankbaits. And then later in the afternoon, watch for schoolers because they will come up late in the afternoon tomorrow.
Right. Water level, where is it right now? Do you know?
It's still a little, I think it went below 14 feet low today on Smith. So.
Okay. Is that abnormal?
I did talk to the Smith Lake Park director. Next October, they are right now, they're getting all the permits in line and scheduled for ramp renovations. So
next October.
Going to be about, I think they got a new dock there at the park already. They had it installed yesterday. Of course, now it won't be any good to them, any use to them when they start the renovations. But
right.
But next October, you can look for a big drawdown to get the new ramps built.
Okay, so they'll have to draw it down if there was no other reason is to redo the boat ramp.
Right. So you can look, it's going to be about the same level, if not lower, this time next year.
Okay, all right. Is it, for somebody that not familiar with Smith, is it still, water level's okay that you're not going to get out there and, get in a mess, I guess?
As long as you stay away from things you can see, you're good.
I got you.
How long do you think it'll take them to do the boat ramps next year?
Well, it'll be a fast process once they get the water level down to where it has to be, which is lower than what it is right now to do a ramp correctly.
Right.
They can be done with it in a week or two.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Did you say they're extending out, make it for six or eight boats?
I don't know what the exact plans are, but I do. The original plan was make it like a seven-lane boat ramp, and it's going to be closer to the swimming area. They're going to move down a little bit. Seven-lane boat ramp right there.
I got you. Well, good deal. Well, hey, Rex, I know you got things you need to be doing. If somebody wants to get hooked up and you take them fishing, where can they find you, bud?
Just find me on the web at smithlakebass.com or Facebook, Rex Chambers Fishing.
All right. Fantastic. Rex, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
All right. Y'all have a great day.
All right. You too, Rex. All right. It is 5:44. We're going to go to a quick break, come back. And at that time, get off the highways, get your pen and paper out. It's time for the all-important picks from Jason and Ronnie. So stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 coming.
Friday, December 9th at the Coleman Civic Center. The music, the moves, the memories of the King lives on. Christmas with Elvis, the ultimate tribute event as Stephen Freeman performs Elvis's Christmas gospel and rock and roll hits live on stage. Advance tickets on sale at KingTribute Live.com and the Coleman Civic Center. One night with you, Coleman, to prove Elvis is still the king. Don't miss Christmas with Elvis at the Coleman Civic Center, Friday, December 9th at 7:30. Visit KingTribute Live.com for more information.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it.
You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
On with it. 5:47 and 20 seconds.
That's it.
And it is time.
Love that music.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, you hear it at every sporting event.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. You listen on TV.
You don't hear it at Auburn games.
You hear it at the Domino's tournament.
Basketball, football.
Domino's?
No.
Okay.
All right, give me the
5:47. It means it's time for our picks.
I'm undefeated.
We're
so
going to keep up with the points this week, Ron. I'm going to leave this in your notebook.
Okay.
And we'll figure it up, see who got closest.
I'll
to
get them just right. I'm on a roll. Daddy.
Call him Butter.
Butter.
Because he's on a roll.
Oh, man.
All right, starting out, Miami at North Carolina State. Miami, a 3-point underdog.
Underdog for Miami?
No, 3-point favorite.
Sure.
Let me tell you, I'm a little slow.
You are.
I told you right. I went to bed last night about 11:15-ish, somewhere in there, 10:45. I watched an episode of Two and a Half Men, so really don't know what time it was in there. 2:15, I was wide awake. So.
Watching it again?
I did watch some episodes. Not the same one. But.
All right, give me
a score.
All right, I'm taking Miami over North Carolina State, 31-28.
And I had the same Miami score. I'm going Miami 31.
Are you serious?
North Carolina State 20.
Okay.
Ole Miss at Vandy. Ole Miss a 10-point favorite.
Ole Miss is going to win the game. I tell you, that freshman quarterback looked great for them last week. I think he'll do well this week. I'm taking Ole Miss, but I think it's going to be 28-13.
All right, and I thought of the score before you said.
Tell me it's the same one.
I'm saying 27-17.
Oh, Ole Miss. Is that the score you had, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Arkansas at Mississippi State. This one somewhat of a surprise to me. Mississippi State, a 2-point favorite.
Wow, how in the world is that? Arkansas is going to win a football game. Arkansas wins 21-17.
Arkansas 21. Mississippi State 17. I'm also going with Arkansas 23-20.
All right.
And I'm thinking of these scores before you call yours
okay.
out
so, all right.
so you don't influence me. All right. USC at UCLA.
USC will win this game. It'll be high scoring. USC wins 38-30.
Unbelievable. As I said, I'm thinking of these before you call it out. I'm saying USC 38.
Oh, my goodness.
UCLA 27.
Great minds.
Yeah. Florida at LSU, a game that was supposed to be played in the
swamp.
That's
right. I'm taking LSU.
Hold on. Let me get my score in
okay.
my head.
All right.
I got it.
Okay. It just dropped in, didn't
yep.
it? I'm taking LSU. I think they beat Florida. I think the score will be 27-21.
I'm also going with LSU, 23-20.
Good grief.
All right. Alabama A&M. Well, let's jump on this side first.
Okay.
Oklahoma at West Virginia. Oklahoma a 3.5-point favorite.
I'm taking Oklahoma. They're hot, just like Chris said. They lost a couple games early, but they kind of found their stride right now, scoring a lot of points. I think it's going to be 33-30.
33-30. We got to pick a different one sometime, but I'm not going to do it here. I'm going Oklahoma 37, West Virginia 24.
All right.
Louisville, this game tonight, Louisville at Houston. Louisville 16.5-point favorite.
I'm going to take Louisville. I think that will be high scoring. I say it's going to be Louisville
42-38. I'm also going Louisville 48-42.
Ooh. That's even higher.
Yeah, we're right in there together.
Yeah, that's right.
Alabama A&M at Auburn. Auburn a 51.5-point favorite. Let me get this score in my mind now.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay, I'm taking Alabama A&M.
I'll win this
I'm with you. I got Auburn there, a 51-point favorite. I think, my gosh, well, if they play anything like they did last week, I say they won't. I think they win this
55-3. I'm going to go Auburn, but not quite as many points. I'm going 45-7.
Okay.
Tennessee Chattanooga at Alabama. Alabama a 47.5-point
favorite. I'm taking Alabama. I think I don't think Tennessee Chattanooga can keep the third string from scoring, so I'm saying Alabama scores. They've never done it. I'm going. Alabama scores 60.
60. Wow.
Tennessee Chattanooga scores 3.
3. And I've got Chattanooga at 3. And I've got Alabama at 52.
Okay.
So we picked every game the same.
Well, it's going to come down to scores.
Come down
isn't
to the
it?
Scores.
That's it.
And there's not a lot of difference in most
no,
of the scores.
No, it's going to be close this next week as to how we end up.
All right, Ronnie, what do you got up? We got about 3 or 4 minutes here. So what do you got up? What you got on the weekend plans? And
oh, just don't really have any for this weekend. You know, for us, Alabama playing Tennessee Chattanooga, Auburn playing Alabama A&M, the Bulldogs.
Yeah, not a lot of interest.
In normal Alabama, both of them are night games. I don't even know if I'll even watch much of it.
Yeah, is it on and what channel?
I don't know.
I'm sure it'll be on something.
It is on. They're night games. I think one of them is ESPN2 is one of them. I haven't even looked. That shows the interest I have.
Every game now on TV. I remember when I was a kid growing up, and you'll remember it.
Man,
they were on. That was a treat.
Oh, it was huge. I mean, if you saw them 2 or 3 times a year, unbelievable. Now it's, why go to the game?
Yeah, and it would come down the Auburn-Alabama game, which at that time really was the Iron Bowl.
Right.
But it would come down, and people, do you know if the Alabama-Auburn game is going to be on TV?
Yeah.
And
that's right.
A lot of years you would be listening to the old radio when it came
to
that
game. Yes, you would. Good, you know, like I say, it's a whole different world now.
You remember this, and I know you will, and a lot of people out there, if you're anywhere close to our age, we'll remember this. What show did this come off of? The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
That's wide world of sports.
That's it. That was another treat on Saturday afternoon.
Better
the Harlem Globetrotters would come on.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, man.
Hey, Jason, we got just a couple minutes. Let me go back quickly. If someone
I got to join in the fun, too. I remember going to high school games, you know, and that wasn't that long ago. And Leonard's Losers came on the radio every single high school game.
That's exactly right. I hadn't heard that in a long time.
I don't remember if he talked like football the next day or what the topic was, but it was late at night. And, of course, I don't remember what station it was on either.
I don't either, but I do remember that. So, hey, Jason, a little basketball locally. If you want to go tonight, there is some games or a couple of them you can go to. Boaz is playing at Coleman. That would be going on right now. It's probably their JV game is being played right now. Also, JB Pennington is playing at Hansville tonight. Then tomorrow night, Friday, a lot of basketball throughout the county. If you want to check it out, you got Fairview at Cold Springs. You got Vimont at Good Hope.
You got Lawrence County at Cullman, Hanceville at West Point. St. Bernard will be on the road at Winston County, but a lot of high school basketball right here in Cullman County. So, folks, if you don't have plans, you know, go out and support your local high school. I know those players would appreciate it. I know the administrators would appreciate your money when you
come in. Let Jason buy you a steak dinner on the way because he knows Ronnie Couple.
That's right.
No, you haven't been keeping up with them. I think we're actually in Ronnie's owing me now.
Are we?
Okay, yeah. I
should have a scorecard running back here on the wall.
Exactly. That's right. That's what we need. So, but plenty of basketball, Jason, if folks want to go out and check it out tonight and this weekend. And, of course, you know, as this season progresses on and certainly next week with Thanksgiving, there are some Thanksgiving tournaments at Holly Pond all day long, two or three days. Yeah. Hanceville, they have their own Thanksgiving tournament. So plenty of opportunities to see basketball and, you know, have your Thanksgiving meal and then, you know, slide over to a gym and catch some basketball.
And so, I'm putting on my to-do list, Ronnie, after the way you talked about Holly Pond, to go and check out Holly Pond boys and watch them
sometime during the Thanksgiving tournament?
Yep. Hopefully we can do that sometime.
Well, shoot me a text if it's where I can. I'll go with you.
All right. Good deal.
Sounds good then. Deal.
All right. Let's call it a day, folks. It's time to go home and get some victuals. We'll be back with you for one show next week on Tuesday. And, of course, we will be talking Iron Bowl probably the entire show. Chris, Dan will be joining us. But if they're going to be with us, they're going to talk Iron Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. Or we'll hang up on
that's it. Until Tuesday, have yourself a great weekend and a big War Eagle.
And a great big old road tie.
Big question before y'all go. Do you think that the Iron Bowl tickets are going to be discounted and, like, you know, laid to waste on Facebook? Like, people give them away?
Or? No, it's still going to be
still
a, gonna
be a pretty good game there.
Yeah, it's still going to cost you some coins to see it.
Okay, you heard it here first.
That's it.
All right. See y'all next week.
Bye-bye.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center. Choose the side salad over the fries. Park at the back of the lot, on purpose. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why at Coleman Regional, we offer so many. Childbirth education classes, rehab programs, full screenings. Most of our wellness programs are totally free. Our full list of programs and doctors is available online today at ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional. Live exceptional.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Huntsville police looking for a man who escaped while being booked into jail. They're also trying to figure out how he was able to get away in the first place. Cops say the man was arrested for carrying a concealed weapon without a permit. While booking him, the officer turned away for a moment. The man just walked out of the building wearing handcuffs. Birmingham police searching for a man who broke into a church near Legion Field. Cops say the guy threw a brick through a window at a church on 6th Avenue North. Surveillance video catching him going through items in the fellowship hall, but leaves without taking anything. The Ephesus Seventh-day Advent Church was targeted last week. Someone shot out glass on the front door. Talladega police officer Joel Husk fired after sharing posts being called racist on his Facebook page. These posts are said to have violated the city's code of conduct and social media policy. One post was a meme that shows Melania Trump with the words fluent in Slovenian, English, French, Serbian, and German, and a photo of Michelle Obama that says fluent in ghetto. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
A Calera mother facing charges in Panama City. Police say her child was wandering in and out of her resort room without supervision. 22-year-old Amy Totherow faces child neglect charges. Investigators say she was intoxicated at the time of her arrest. Everyone is safe and accounted for after a fire breaks out at a Birmingham daycare. Fire department responding to the scene on 24th Street North today. State troopers say they've seen a 10% spike in traffic-related deaths this year. One factor, there are more drivers on the road than ever before. And UAB researchers say that we're more distracted behind the wheel than ever before.
It takes the driver's eyes off of the road, especially when they're text messaging, emailing, Snapchatting, using apps. If you take your eyes off the road longer than 2 seconds, that it significantly increases your chance of crashing.
UAB researcher Despina Stavros tells WBRC, although most new cars have safety features, none of those replace you being a focused driver. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
News, state lawmakers are trying to work out budget problems long before the new legislative session gets underway. Members of a joint budget reform task force trying to figure out how to handle decades of budget shortfalls, they're required to give an interim budget report by mid-February and will continue to work through issues for a final report through the summer. Among the biggest obstacles, how to pay for Medicaid and Medicare without a tax hike. A dissenting voice on the Birmingham Waterworks Board accusing other members of holding a vote on their budget last week only because she could not be there. Sherry Lewis had to leave the meeting because of a prior commitment. Board then quickly voted 4-0 on the budget and water rate increases. This vote was supposed to have been taken November 22nd. Lewis says she would have voted against it. 2005 Chevy full-size pickup truck, the most stolen vehicle in Alabama. Nationally, thieves prefer Honda Accords and Civics. 24/7 Wall Street also reports Alabama ranks 31st in the nation for the number of automobiles stolen every year. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.